actual moment that we wait for every week.
Pretty exciting, huh?
They're back with a big new program.
When you hear the chime, it will be exactly...
Who wants an orange whip?
Are we live? Yeah!
Orange whip.
Come get some.
Orange whip.
And here it is.
Three orange whips.
Party, I'm more like a riot.
Nailed on the roof, gang.
Here's Johnny.
You shall see that.
He's alive.
Wonderful to tell.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, son.
Hail to the king, baby.
Release the Kraken.
It's showtime.
It is showtime. Hi, I'm Derek Knight. Listening to the big program available worldwide, really anywhere in the universe. Apple Podcasts, thebigprogram.website. Should unmute y'all's mics so you can talk. Hi, Colin.
Hi.
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 Heather.
Hi.
Hi. Jess.
What's up?
Hi.
Hey.
Hi.
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 Guess what?
What?
It's almost Halloween.
What?
Damn near Halloween.
Woo!
We've almost gotten through the entire month of Halloween. So we're going to do some Halloween music today. Some spooky tunes. Spooky sounds and terrifying tunes. If you're into alliteration, which I always am. Low alliteration. In the past, I have done just by myself Halloween horror spooktacular music shows. And I find that just me alone is boring. I like having y'all here.
Yay.
Sometimes you get people in the room, you have a conversation, it's fine. It's magical, even, almost. Magical. But I asked y'all what your favorite Halloween music was. Some of you came up with more than others. I also have stuff because I love Halloween music. But let's start with Colin. You gave me a lot of Halloween music, and some of it was stuff I have never heard before. So which one would you like me to play first, and what would you like to say about it?
See, yeah, I hadn't really planned any of that. I mean, you know me and picking favorites. It's tough anyway.
I know it's tough, but you did though. You put asterisks next to the ones
that I like
that you like the most
of the list that I gave you.
Yeah, what's your favorites? That's how favorites work. I don't know if you're aware.
Yeah. So, but again, I couldn't narrow it down to one. There's no way.
No, and that's fine. You don't have to narrow it down to one. Just pick one to start with.
We'll see. There you go.
I can start if you don't want to.
Go for it.
All right,
pick which one that looks most interesting to you.
Oh, no, I'm not going to pick yours for you. You've got to pick yours. If you don't want to go, I'll just go with one of mine.
Start with
one of mine.
Fine.
Listen, we touched on it last episode, but some of the best Halloween music I've heard on Dr. Demento's show, and one of my very favorite songs that came from the Doo-Wop Halloween is a Scream album is Big B Cornahay at the House of Frankenstein.
All you kids gather around. Call at this house. There is something special going down.
That's one of the reasons I love the song, is because the lead singer, Big B Cornahay, he's got such a powerful voice. And he's just having a great time. He's got a great band and a great group behind him. That song, I like it because it's cool. I like it because it's a good example of doo-wop turned spooky. And I've got a lot of people on my Facebook who consider themselves very spooky, very into Halloween, and they're always asking, hey, does anybody have any songs to add to my Halloween playlist? And I bring that up. And 9 times out of 10, oh my God, I've never heard that. That's great. That goes in permanent rotation because it's just that good. So your thoughts?
No, I liked it.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I liked it. It was very groovy.
Yeah.
It's got a beat and you can really bug out to it.
Thank you. Somebody had to say it.
We got it over with early.
Yeah. Figured it out, Colin?
Sure.
Good. What do you got?
Let's start with Cha-Cha with the Zombies.
Cha-Cha with the Zombies by the Upperclassmen.
Yes.
You're all invited to a party. Come along now.
Let's go down to the haunted house. Gonna be a party there tonight.
Ooh.
All the zombies who dig cha-cha-cha. 1 o'clock, they're gonna come in sight.
Cha-cha with the zombies, cha-cha with the zombies. Have you ever seen a swinging ghost?
I haven't. I like this. Cha-cha with the zombies. I like it a lot because it's so unapologetically
cheesy.
It's very loud.
I love it when my Halloween music is supper club appropriate.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But it's very lounge. It's very, what is this, late 40s, early 50s?
If it came off the set that I think it was, it's supposed to be 50s and 60s, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This sounds more like late 50s, early 60s to me.
Yeah. Still, it's very good. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
The cha-cha-cha. They could do with a little bit more bass in their mix, but I like it. I like it a lot. Good choice.
There's a lot of bad music out there.
Oh, and it's okay to like bad music. You like bad movies, too.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying that even finding stuff that isn't just full of screams is...
Oh my God!
Tricky.
You gave me, and I'm not blaming you for this because you didn't put it together. But you gave me a whole collection of some remix stuff called Scar Stuff, a spook party and Scar Stuff.
I did.
Yeah, you did. It was a lot, but I think we were still at Graham.
Wow!
And it's a bunch of really good stuff, but then whoever remixed it just put a bunch of screams and random noises and clips from old horror movies over it. And it's really ham-handed and hackneyed, and it's unsettling because there's a lot of songs in there that I just want.
Right.
And then they'll end up pulling up in my iTunes, and I'm like, oh, but not this version. This version's shit. And I've slowly been trying to weed out those versions, and yet they persist. See, and I'm just like...
I don't even think I have that anymore.
Yeah, well, because it's terrible. You probably took one listen and was like, oh, this is shitty. And I'm still, it's just like that U2 album that Apple decided everybody had to have. I can't get rid of it. And I'm still trying every year to get rid of all this dumb shit and replace it with the real shit. So I don't blame you for it, but you did give it to me.
All right.
Yeah. I'm kind of blaming you for it. Jess. Hi.
How about the Pine Hill Haints?
Oh, the Pine Hill Haints. Tell me about the Pine Hill Haints.
I don't know much about them. I just really like this song.
Yeah. What do you have in your mouth?
I have a half a piece of Halloween candy in my mouth right now.
Oh, okay.
Which is totally why you called me out, because I'm not supposed to be eating on the podcast.
No, I didn't know that you had any food in your mouth. Is that the Walkin' Talkin' Dead Man?
Walkin' Talkin' Dead Man. It's a great song.
Kicking all the headstones all night long. Kicking up trouble, drinking like a cup of made of skin and bone. I never met a heathen and wished he was still breathing. That's a life for me. We got him running out of town like a sinking underground, but that's where I'll be awaiting. Well, it looks like lunch far as you can see.
Nobody cares about key. I like this. You like some of this weird dissonant stuff.
I do.
And you always throw it at like, what's that, old 97s you like a lot.
Oh, yeah. They're not dissonant.
They're They're not as dissonant as this.
Yeah,
but this I feel like there's that same flavor.
It's very
old-timey.
It's, they're literally like a ghost-themed bluegrass band.
Right. Which I believe anything ghost-themed, I'm in on. I don't know if I love this, but it's certainly strange, and I do appreciate strange.
You know, I wanted to bring some flavor
you
into
did. I like it.
The songs that you guys bring up over and over again.
I know I was making Halloween faces like, are they going to sing? And then they started singing, and you made a face to me like, ha-ha!
I should have warned you that it had a very, very, very long...
But that's fine. That's fine. It's a concept. It's a concept. I like it. Okay. And this is really... Yeah, this is Jess.
It is.
Jess in a nutshell. She likes some weird stuff.
You know, I only sent you two songs.
Right, you did.
I don't necessarily have a giant Halloween repertoire.
Oh, but everybody should.
Usually... when I do themed playlists for like a holiday or something,
right,
I'm making my Halloween playlist, but I'm not throwing in a lot of Halloween songs because I feel like that's too easy. I'm normally throwing stuff in like, you know, Candy by Iggy Pop or...
You know, like stuff, the wordplay.
The wordplay,
which
yeah.
Heather appreciates.
I do.
Being somebody who likes puns.
Yeah, we're, you know, playing like a lot of just dissonant, like... minor key kind of stuff, right, as opposed to just straight
up. And I will go off the map a little bit just to kind of like tragedy or sad.
Yeah.
If I'm thinking about a horror or Halloween playlist.
But I mean, I cut my teeth listening to like Bauhaus and Nine Inch Nails.
Right.
And like, I mean, stuff that was kind of tragically gothic, proto-emo anyway. So
not Messine.
Yeah.
Not Messine.
Yeah. So the idea to me of like putting together a Halloween playlist is just, all right.
All right, NPR. Heather.
Yes.
Yeah, what you got?
We're going to start with Nightmare on My Street.
Yes.
We're going to go a little newer school than y'all have picked.
It's true. Let me find that. I know it's got it in here.
But I did pick that just because it reminds me of Halloween because of the subject matter.
Right.
And
I loved this when I was growing up.
Well, yeah. And I remember I called the radio station to request it. And I was like, dude, we just got back from seeing the new Freddy movie. And he's like, wait. Say that again. So then he could record me. And I actually got on the radio.
Nice.
You know.
Oh, yeah. And then later, when you were doing college radio and I was still in high school, you brought me on to do Freddy Krueger impressions.
Yes.
Now, I have a story that I'd like to tell about this guy. You all know me and we're scared as hell. He comes to me at night after I crawl into bed. He's burnt up like a weenie and his name is Fred. He wears the same hat and sweater every single day. And even if it's hot outside, he wears it anyway. He's on when I'm awake, but he shows up when I'm asleep. I can't believe that there's a nightmare on my street.
I have to say that this is a prime example of the 90s, late 80s, early 90s, disregard for copyright laws.
Yes.
And there was no way they could get away with this in the years following when people were like, hey, you can't do that. Because they absolutely sampled the theme.
Oh, totally.
With no permission. The impression of Freddy Krueger is not good, but it's Reddy Rock and he's doing it way over the top. And you'll hear it here in a bit. But it was also unauthorized. This was a wonderful example of somebody who was slightly famous wanting to tie into something that was famous.
Wait, do we know that it was unauthorized, or are we just assuming that it was unauthorized?
I know that it was unauthorized. I absolutely know that it was unauthorized. But that was the flavor.
It was the zeitgeist.
The zeitgeist of the time was
the early 90s.
And especially in rap. Absolutely. If you want to do something, just do it. And, you know, it's easier to ask for forgiveness than permission. I mean, Vanilla Ice got absolutely lambasted for stealing the riff from Under Pressure.
Right.
And he even went so far as to try to say, yeah, but you notice on this beat it goes up. It's like, no, dummy, you just stole the song.
Yeah.
It's getting worse, too. I don't know if you're following what's happening.
I am following what's happening, and I hate it.
Yeah.
The fact that you
could be sued for them to be able to prove they influenced you.
Yeah. Yeah,
and
patent trolls and other things are really taking over. But I'll be honest, rap hasn't changed much at all. There are rappers who just take songs, speed them up. Yeah, there's the Freddy impression. We'll see what happens here in a bit.
He's coming
back. Oh, I get it, I must be dreaming. I roll back home with the grin on my grill. I said, since this is a dream, I might as well get ill.
I walked in the house, the big bad fresh prince. For Freddy killed all that noise real quick.
But here it is.
He grabbed me by my neck and said,
here's what we'll do. We got a lot of work here, me and you. The souls of your friends, you and I will claim.
And to be fair, that doesn't sound anything like Freddy Krueger. Robert Englund did it with a bit of gravel, and it's a shame Mark Britton isn't here
to do his
Freddy impression. But I mean, Robert Englund didn't do it like that. It was just like a guy who'd been burned up.
Yeah,
it was like the errand of the tongue, a little gravel. But you know. Became the Freddy impression that everybody was doing.
I've never seen any of the Nightmare on Elm Street movies.
It's a shame because the first one, if you were 9 and watching it, would terrify you.
As
an adult, it is the most hilariously bad movie you will ever see in your life.
It's still one of my favorites, though. I think
it is.
It really is. But
when we watched it for the first time,
it was terrifying.
It was.
I was terrified.
Yeah, and I was at Rhonda's house, and it was like 1:30 in the morning, and she has the big picture window that looks out onto the street. And right after they were, well, you don't know because you haven't seen it yet, but there's the scene where they're in a basement and he's coming with his little claws, you know,
right.
And bad, scary things are happening. And all of a sudden there, you see a shadow of somebody walk up on the porch and he's wearing a striped sweater. And we're just like, what the fuck? Banging on the door, wanting to get in, let me in. And we're like, ah! Well, it turned out to be her brother coming home from a date and he had forgotten his keys, but he was had to wear a striped sweater. What the hell?
I'm looking up a song on YouTube that Jess wants, and I hadn't Oops. Stopped the ad.
You might want to switch to Brave. It blocks all the ads.
Oh, thanks for the unsolicited.
Thanks for the tip.
Thanks for the tip.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the unsolicited endorsement of whatever the fuck you just said.
I'll be checking in with you on that later.
Hey, all right.
We'll
be checking back up with a call on his recommendations. And now traffic. Oh, shit. Everything's backed up on the I-101.
Speaking of really crummy horror movies, so I have some good friends who know that I'm not into horror, but I was hanging out with them the other night. They wanted to watch a horror movie, and we settled on the fact that I'm okay as long. If it's funny, like I love Shaun of the Dead. I love, you know, kitschy stuff. I'm okay with like the Evil Dead 2 Army of Darkness kind of, because it's more comedic than it is scary. I don't like unnecessary gore. And so they somehow landed on this movie that is called Slither.
I love Slither.
Oh my God. I was
Nathan
watching
Fillion.
Yeah, and it's just, I mean, Nathan Fillion fresh off of Firefly, and they literally had him wearing a brown coat for most of the movie. Like, he looked exactly the same as his character in Firefly in this bit part. Yeah, but that movie was, I mean, it was at the prime period of, I'm guessing, like, mid-aughts. Hey, we're really good at CGI, and it looks terrible.
Mm.
And the plot was just, it made no sense.
It's not supposed to sometimes.
I mean, it's like, okay, there's a thing that got him, that this dude gets impregnated, but then now he's impregnating other people. And then there's apparently slugs overtaking everybody, but the slugs aren't impregnating you. Only he can impregnate you with his two prong things. And Elizabeth Banks is really hot. And that's the moral of the movie.
There you go. Sounds terrible.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
It was a side. You liked it?
I liked it.
Colin likes bad movies.
I like bad movies.
He likes gore.
Yeah, Michael Rooker is in it.
Nice.
Love him.
We're only one degree away from Michael Rooker.
Michael Rooker is the main guy who gets impregnated and then starts impregnating everybody with his.
I mean, he played it so straight, too. Oh, it was really good.
It is quite funny because some of those scenes had to have been terribly hard not to laugh.
Mm hmm.
Because, I mean, it's literally like a giant, slimy, naked guy is merging with me right now. And you're like, what the fuck is even happening?
Nice.
Yeah,
the slugs, when they get in, they would take over your brain.
Make
you become his slave, essentially.
Or
his brood mare.
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
So
if you haven't seen it, guys.
Still, I mean, we haven't given away the ending or anything.
No, we haven't.
Definitely not.
Apparently, though, if you want to watch a good, funny Halloween movie that has all of the old movie monsters in it, Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, is not only good, but apparently it was used as the blueprint for a lot of movies that came after it, as far as ensemble things. Let's bring ensembles into it.
So is this like an actual Abbott and Costello movie? Mm-hmm.
It was Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein, all Wolfman and Dracula were in it, all of the Universal movie monsters.
Okay.
Yeah. But apparently that particular movie ended up being a template for other ensemble casts up to and including It's a Mad, 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 Mad
World. I was going to say It's a Mad, Mad, Mad World.
Which, so if we really want to do some bad movies for Halloween, we should all sit and watch Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Yeah, I have a collection of Abbott and Costello movies. Yeah. So
I have Africa Screams. I thought I had it. Turns out I don't. I have some Abbott and Costello. I don't have that one. So just because y'all like it so much, we've got another movie review by Karen.
Hey, that's Karen.
National Treasure 2. Well, if you've seen National Treasure 1, then you know what National Treasure 2 is about. And that has Nicolas Cage Jr., Don Blake.
Nicolas Cage Jr.?
What?
Did I say Nicolas Cage Jr.?
You did.
Okay, no, it's just Nicolas Cage.
Okay, that's what I thought.
It's senior.
I don't know what I was thinking of. Nicolas Cage Jr. He is just so matter of fact. It doesn't matter what is going on.
She's sticking
to it. The whole world can be falling down them. You know, death is imminent at any time, but he's just calm and collected and matter of fact, which is ridiculous. Helen Mirren plays his mother, John Bourne plays his father. They're divorced because they didn't get along. She's like a professor at a college of something, so she knew a lot about. You know, he's trying to find the lost city of gold.
Finish the sentence, Karen.
It has something
Karen.
To do with he has to get into the White House.
To
he
be fair, to I am.
He
edit
has to look at the resolution desk.
Resolute.
It's all
desk.
Tied to Queen Victoria in England. So they go there, blah, blah, blah. And then he hits the president. Like that could ever happen. And they discover some other fantastic things in this hidden tunnel. And he gets out of there. Him and his friends get out of there like... Like you can just go and
they
kidnap the president for about an hour.
Like you can just kidnap
but
the
anyway,
president
it's
for an
pretty
hour.
Exciting.
Apparently.
They end up in you know that place in South Dakota? What's that called where all the people are on the mountain?
Mount Rushmore.
Mount Rushmore. So this is where the hidden city of gold is. I don't want to give too much away.
Yeah.
It's pretty exciting, but Nicholas Cage
here.
Spoiler
alert.
Yeah.
You do. You went through one of the nostrils. Actually, have you never seen National Treasure 2, Jess?
I didn't even know they made a National Treasure 2.
They did. It's called National Treasure 2 Book of Secrets.
Apparently, there's also a National Treasure 3.
I have it, if you'd ever like to watch a really bad movie.
Pretty sure Mark Pellegrino is in that movie.
I am going to spend the night tonight. So.
That's true. Yeah.
Slumber party.
Anything can happen. It's almost Halloween.
She told me today that she's going to try to be better at movie reviews and not tell the whole plot.
Not reveal so much.
Yes.
Which I think not watching the middle will help.
Yes,
yeah,
definitely.
Yeah, not actually watching the movie before she
just, yeah, watch a preview. Watch a trailer and then do the review.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And say people that don't even exist are in it.
It's true.
Well, I was thinking, I was like, maybe Nicolas Cage Jr. sounds like Richard Speight Jr. And that's why she said it. I don't
she just,
know.
She stuck to it, though, man.
Yeah, she did.
She was committed to that bit.
He's
whatever
now
it was,
a junior.
Even though corrected, she was just like, nope,
did I
going
say
right
junior?
Back to
well,
it. Yeah. I don't know what I was thinking. So Nicolas Cage Jr. Wow.
Who would want the president we have these days even
that's
for an
true.
Hour?
Why would you want to kidnap? That's not even a good Groupon. Hang out with Trump for 5 hours. I'll pass.
Thank you.
No.
I'll pay you to not make me.
Do I be with him without the Secret Service?
Right.
Like, do I get to be in a locked room with Trump by myself? Yeah, probably. Are there no cameras? One of my favorite comics that I've come across on this whole World Series of Comedy thing, Mike Eshak, he does a bit where he talks about how during that school shooting where the deputy stayed outside, Trump went on record as saying,
he would have run.
Even if I didn't have a gun, I would have run in there. And Mike Eshak says, yeah, that'd be great. You should do that. Mm-hmm. And then people in the audience routinely will be like, that's bullshit. He's all, hey, it's a joke. I don't want them to die. Like that. Maybe a wall falls on him.
Yeah, Mike is great.
Mike is
he is really
good
funny.
Comic.
He is really good at what he does.
Yep, former Marine, but he's of Yemeni descent. So he's got a lot of people have so much just honest material to work with. And he's one of them because people ask him all the time. And he gives his whole bit about it. Wait, you're a Marine? United States Marines? No, bitch, ISIS Marines.
Yeah,
I don't want to do his entire act.
No,
but it's
he's a really nice guy, and he's a genuine guy. And he gets on stage, and I think of the people I've seen that you performed with as part of that World Series thing, he is definitely one of those guys that is unapologetic and unafraid because he takes some serious shit for some of the stuff he says.
Oh, he does. He takes risks, but
he really does. But he's good at it.
He's very funny,
and he's really funny.
And he's he says bro a lot. Bro.
He's got a lot of frenetic energy. He's a very energetic person.
And he likes watches.
He does. Yeah. He's got classy, like, adult watches. Like, he's good at hashtag adult watches.
Yeah. But back to the music.
Back to the music.
Because there's a music
Well,
now.
You know, the bad movie theme ties into this song, if you found it.
No, I've got it, but I'm gonna do one of mine first.
Okay.
I'm going to do one of mine first, one that I really enjoy.
Oh, man.
I'm going to do...
We're missing the theme tie so hard.
It's fine. You know what? We got a long show. Maybe we can tie it back. But this particular song is by King Flash and Calypso Carnival, and the song's been done multiple times. I think this is one of the better versions of it.
I love
it's
this song.
Zombie Jamboree from the thing.
Back, belly, belly, I don't give a darn, cause it's undead already. Back to back, belly to belly, and the zombie jamboree.
Zombie jamboree took place in New York Cemetery. The zombie jamboree took place in Long Island Cemetery. Zombies from all parts of the island. Some of them are great Calypsonian.
I did this song as the spooky singing ghost and his disembodied band in Freak Train. But this particular song is a tradition in Calypso. It's a traditional Calypso song. And I have a version by an artist called The Charmer, who happens to be Louis Farrakhan. Louis Farrakhan was a Calypso singer back in the day. And his version is called Back to Back. Pure goddamn Calypso genius.
A zombie jamboree took place in a New York cemetery. Was a zombie jamboree took place in Woodlawn Cemetery. Zombies from all parts of the island. Some of them are great Calypsonian. Since this season was carnival, they got together in Bacchanal and they singing
back to back, belly to belly. I don't care a damn, I done dead already. Back to back, belly to belly was a zombie jamboree.
I heard the chorus.
Now you might notice the term zombie.
Mm-hmm.
Zombie is what zombie evolved from. The idea of a zombie is what is a zombie?
You're asking me?
Yeah, I'm asking you.
I don't follow that. No.
Yeah, it's like a possessed spirit in voodoo, right?
It's the reanimation of the dead.
Yeah, and so the word zombie comes from zombie. And it's a
voodoo thing.
Yeah. So and this being a Calypso standard, just about every Calypso artist did this song. And then some non-Calypso artists did it, such as Leftover Salmon, which is an a cappella group who I wish would burn in hell. But, you know, it's one of those. No, they're terrible. They're fucking terrible.
They're not an a cappella group.
Whatever the fuck
they're a ska band.
Okay, well, they sucked at it. Anyway.
I mean, I don't disagree that their version was probably terrible.
I have it. I could play it, but I'm not going to. You know why? Because I respect you, listener. I'm not going to inundate you with the bullshit. But, yeah, that's Louis Farrakhan.
I like this version.
This a lot.
If you don't know who Louis Farrakhan is, look him up.
Now I've got...
I do like
songs stuck in my head.
Yeah, it's a great song.
I do like the Lord and Vader version.
Actually, it was...
It's great as well.
That's actually a misnomer.
Is it? It's
the
not
idea
Lord
that
Vader.
Lord and Vader did it. It never happened.
What?
He may have done it live at various carnival, but he never recorded it.
Okay.
And I have his entire discography because I was looking for it. I wanted it. It doesn't exist, unfortunately. Laid down as a track. Now, he may have performed it. He may have performed it live. He may have performed it as a standard in his act, but he never laid it down as a track, unfortunately.
I probably just have some mislabeled shit.
Well,
in my
iTunes. There is the Kingston Trio did a version, and they credit Lord and Vader and his 12 penetrators as having originated the song, which is not true. Because it's the Kingston Trio. What the fuck do they know? But
or it may be true.
It may be true, but there is no record of it.
Yeah, and that's why they were attributing it to him.
Maybe. But from what I've read, because I did a shitload of research trying to find it, they were just wrong. From what I read. They were just wrong.
Shit happens.
This shit does happen, especially in Calypso. But Calypso is also a very oral tradition type of thing. It's just passed down. And one of the biggest traditions in Calypso was to talk shit about anybody from a small island. If you were from a small island and you wanted to go to the big island to get famous, they would talk shit about you as being small island.
Mm.
Yeah. Got a song by Duke of Iron called Small Island. It's all about that. We talk shit about Lord and Vader. Anyway, moving on. Let's just go back to Jess because she's really excited about this song that I pulled.
It's not that I'm excited about the song. I just thought it tied into what we were talking about. So Moxie Fruvis Splatter Splatter is a song that's literally an homage to bad teenage horror movies.
To keep talking because
I was just expecting it to magically happen.
So was I. So was I. Oh.
Nachos. Another perfect day in Rhododendron Park. The sun is shining. Now Dad's reclining. Roll down the blinds to watch a movie in the dark.
Some buxom ladies, a Lamborghini, shadowy motors in a shadowy land. Some idle chatter,
and splatter, splatter. Cue soundtrack music from the up-and-coming band.
This is the band.
Y'all like some weird shit.
I really like that.
I like it. I like just the dry humor aspect of it. I love the spy movie sound.
Yeah, I dig Moxie Fruvis a lot. They are, they are either a New York or possibly Canadian, like Toronto.
All right.
But they, it's like late 90s. I mean, this kind of, they were running in the same circles as like Bare Naked Ladies and They Might Be Giants in the late 90s.
Oh, okay. So that is your wheelhouse.
Yeah, they just never really hit hard, but they opened for pretty much all of the above.
Got it.
At some point or another. I found out.
It's very, very fun. Yeah, I would listen to it.
I found out about them because they opened for They Might Be Giants at one point.
Nice.
For a couple of shows.
Mm-hmm. I liked it.
Definitely.
I also like the ongoing trope that you can hear my chair and you can hear the ice machine. We're never going to change that. I'm not getting a new chair. I'm not getting a new ice machine. You just deal with it, all right?
Yeah,
we're processing the mics a little differently, and we've got a new output stage, but still, we're going to be able to hear some ambient shit.
Brand new equipment, same busted-ass chair.
Same busted-ass chair, y'all. Colin.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, I like finding new music, and that's new music.
Oh, I thought, when it started, my first thought was, Colin's going to like this.
Mm-hmm. I also like the previous one, so.
Which one was that?
The other one of hers. I'll have to look it up again later, but.
I think as far as the Venn diagram, musical tastes, y'all's would intersect a lot.
Yeah.
You think so?
I really do.
Well, let's see.
You guys should share some music.
Let's go ahead and try The Blob next by The Five Blobs.
Blob by The Five. This is another one that I already had. I didn't need your MP3.
Oh, really? You have this. Okay.
Oh, really? You have this, you plebe?
Let me push my glasses up.
You ain't the smartest motherfucker in the world.
Beware of the blob, it creeps and leaps and glides and slides across the floor, right through the door and all around the wall. A splotch, a blotch, be careful of the blob.
This song would be right at home in the playlist of any tiki bar and anywhere you go. It's beautiful, very loungy, it's very well executed. I love it. It's emulating something that's not clicking with me, but I know it's very much emulating a song that exists. But I love it. Like it a lot. What do you like about it?
I just like the sound. I mean, that's usually...
I like the way sound music make me happy.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean...
I like the way music makes my other parts tangle.
It clicks with me on some level. So. Yeah.
But you really like the soundtrack to Stubbs the Zombie.
Yeah.
Which,
I also like that.
If you don't know what the soundtrack to Stubbs the Zombie was like, it was taking old songs and then newer bands... Cue the song by the up-and-coming band. New bands did old songs, and right. Some of them, like Death Cab, did Earth Angel, which was a really good mix. It was a good soundtrack. But that really, to me, feels like your wheelhouse.
I like this because the music itself and the production value is being taken seriously.
Oh yeah, yeah.
It's a quote-unquote novelty song that doesn't read like a novelty song.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, and that's the thing. If you're gonna do something, commit to the bit.
Yeah,
I mean, commitment to the bit is key if you're going to do anything.
It's done well enough. You could just throw this into, like you said, any Exotica set. This would fit right in.
Yeah, and if nobody, because nobody's paying full attention, except for people like Jess and I. I mean, like if this came on and we're sitting at the Tonga Hut, we'd probably both be like, ah. But everybody else would be like, I need another Mai Tai. Can you give me another Mai Tai? I'm so drunk. Have you had the Mai Tai? The Mai Tai is really good. That's what it's like being at a tiki bar. Here's what it's like being at a tiki bar with Jess and I.
Uh-oh.
Everybody around us is shit hammered. We're functionally shit hammered. And like every three songs, one of us is going, ah!
It's true.
Yeah. Heather.
Yes.
What you got?
Well, my second song is cover of a well-known Halloween song, because it is This Is Halloween from The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
But it is done by the Broken Peaches.
Done by the Broken Peach.
Love this song.
Boys and girls of every age, wouldn't you like to see something strange? Come with us in USA, there's a ton of Halloween. This is Halloween, this is Halloween, punk you straight in the dead of night. This is Halloween, everybody make a sweet trick or treat till the neighbor's gonna die of fright. In our town, everybody's dreaming this time of Halloween.
I've always really enjoyed is strong female vocals over driving rock and roll.
Yes.
And they've got that nailed. I play this at Quiz, the video for this. I play this all year round. And every time I play it, somebody goes like, what the fuck are you doing? What is this? I've never seen this. And they're like, oh, it's Broken Peach. And they're like, oh, and sometimes they can't.
I want to know what else they've done, because this is the only thing I've seen.
Here's the thing. Yeah. But I'm mad about it. She's going to tell you about it.
Okay, so when I looked this video up yesterday, they was, you know, there's always the playlists on YouTube. And I was like, oh, yay, they've got more stuff. And it's mostly covers. They've got a kick-ass cover of It's Raining Men. But they merged Ghostbusters with Bad, Michael Jackson's Bad. And it's really well done. The Bad part is amazing. But in the Ghostbusters part, they say, who you want to call? And Derek was like, no!
What is this wanna call shit? It's gonna... Are they guests in our country? Are they not,
you know,
from here?
Right?
You're doing a cover. You're allowed to take a tiny amount of creative liberty with the source material.
Not when it's not the actual tagline of the song in the movie. Who you gonna call? Not who you wanna call. Who you gonna call? Now, I love their sound, and we're gonna hear that song here in a bit. Maybe right now. Who knows?
La, 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 la. That was creepy as fuck, because I was watching Heather and you were singing.
Yeah.
And there was a moment of perfect brother-sister sync that just happened.
And one of the things I like about Broken Peach is they film their videos and then they speed them up. So they make these very jerky, robotic, skeletal movements, and they're all painted up like skeletons. Very talented.
If there's something strange in there, who you wanna call? Ghostbusters!
Gonna.
If there's something weird,
throws his arms up in disgust.
Who you wanna call?
Gonna.
Who you want to call? The Grammar Police.
The Grammar Police? I mean, here's the thing. Again, it's the tagline. Get it right.
Maybe they didn't get permission.
Neither did Ray Parker Jr. when he ripped it off from Huey Lewis.
That's true.
But the bad part is coming up. I mean, the good bad part.
Oh, that's lovely.
It gets better.
Jess is making a face. It's just like, whoa!
They've got little chills. Like, they're so good.
They're so good.
Again, as you said, female lead vocals over just driving relentless rock and roll music.
There's four of them. There's four of them at one time that make this just
wall
haunting
of
harmony.
Sound.
Haunting wall of sound.
They know how to use dissonance well.
Oh, yeah. No, they're great. I love
really
their
do.
Sound. I love everything about them except Wanna. Gunna. Who you gonna call?
And to be fair, maybe that's not their fault. It's just whoever did the arrangement.
I haven't looked it up. Are they from here?
You know,
are they? Is English their first language?
Let's are they over out. The age of 26?
Oh, I don't think so.
Because they might not have even seen Ghostbusters.
Yeah, all I know is that I would pay money to see them live.
Oh yeah,
that's what I'm telling you. Right?
So you could heckle from the audience.
No! I would have a great time.
Gonna.
I might.
There's some weird old man freak. freaking out saying Gunna over and over again.
Gunna. He's gonna comment right now on their thing. Gunna.
Gunna.
Comment on the. Let's see if there's any comments.
I'm sure there are. YouTube, I mean. There's no shortage of people.
Let's see. Oh, please, could you sing the Addams Family theme? Please do. This is okay. Love me some peach on Halloween.
Okay.
He can eat a peach for hours, apparently. That's Nicolas Cage leaving that comment.
Yes.
Y'all seen that movie, right? Face Off?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
It was
ago.
A terrible movie.
Was that the one with John Travolta?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the nuclear warhead or some shit.
Trading Faces.
Some bull. Yeah, Trading Faces. It was the Trading Faces.
Featuring Eddie Murphy, John Travolta, Dan Aykroyd,
I was thinking,
and Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, I was thinking more of the home renovation project show, which would have been even just as good. Yeah. Where were we? You finding out more information about Broken Peach?
I'm trying to find out where they're from, but I'm not having much luck.
Cool.
You guys
go
are
to Wikipedia.
Slowly redeeming.
They're not on Wikipedia.
Are you bullshitting me?
No.
What?
Y'all are slowly
they're
redeeming
really ghosts.
my curmudgeonly view of Halloween music. I'm slowly coming around.
Good. Sometimes it just takes exposure.
Slowly coming around.
Whose turn is it? It's your turn, right?
Yeah.
Is it my turn? Wait, no, I think it's Colin.
We went Colin, then me.
No, it's the
but we
back
did just
Colin.
Twice. We yeah. did just
yeah,
twice.
Back at
so
Colin.
It's actually my turn.
Yeah.
My turn.
Mm.
My turn.
I wouldn't change places with anyone tonight.
Tim Curry did a lot of bad movies, you guys.
Lord Tim Curry,
we'll
ladies and gentlemen.
We'll carve pumpkin faces.
Ooh, pumpkin faces.
And watch the witches flight.
It's so bad. It's
this
good.
Was from his TV show, right?
Every human heart
called The Worst Witch.
Yeah.
I think it was a movie.
I thought it was a TV show.
Was it made for TV?
I thought so, but I could be wrong.
They might be Spanish.
That's what I thought.
Or kind of Latin, like some kind of, because...
I'm sorry, I missed that.
I said kind of like they might be giants, they might be Spanish.
Tonight, okay. The most wonderful night.
This is where he gets really theatrical.
I love his little cape sticks.
Yes. Takes forever to do this next part.
You put this on for my mom the other night.
Yeah.
And I believe her exact response. What the fuck?
What the fuck? That's the proper response.
Your dog could turn into a cat.
It could. Turn into a cat.
There may be a toad in your
bass guitar.
Or your sister could turn into a bat.
She's not already?
What?
Christmas time brings the snow. Summertime brings the sun. But on Halloween, your
yep.
blood begins to run.
Something's spooky is going.
So fucking weird. So dumb. The video is so bad. It is the worst chroma of all time, but it's so bad it's good. And I play it at quiz, and people are transfixed. They can't turn away. It's like it's the craziest,
it's so
worst
awful.
Train wreck. Yeah.
It's so awful you can't stop watching it.
Yep. So good. Colin.
Yes.
You brought a lot. I mean, you brought a lot of music into this fray.
I did. So let's do another starred one. Bury Me Deep by Chance Halliday.
Bury Me Deep by Chance Halliday. What do you know about
one.
This?
I know
really
nothing
good.
About it. It's
you know
on,
nothing
it's on one
about
of my
it.
Sets.
Cool.
And I like the sound of it. So.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Bury Me Deep.
I'm a goner. Yes, sirree. They'll be coming after me.
16 tons, what do you get?
Well, of all of my kin, I'm the blackest sheep. So you'd better bury me deep. Gone and bury, bury me deep. Brother, I'm a sinner and now I know. Bury, bury me deep.
What do you get?
Brother,
the
so
day
I won't have to
deeper
than
debts. Maybe don't you call me cause I can't go.
Well, I lied and I stole and I've cheated too. I've done every evil thing a man can do.
I like like it.
It's a classic riff. Really
it's a classic riff. I mean, it's 16 tons, but it's cute. No, it is. It's really cute. I like it a lot.
Colin was going through all these songs yesterday. He's in the dining room. I'm in the living room.
Yeah.
And this one came in and came on, and I was like, I really dig this one. He goes, oh, yeah, it's going on the list. Good.
Well, it's nice to get approval.
If you could mash this up with, like, the really low-voiced version of 16 Tons.
Yeah, Tennessee Ernie Ford.
And then put Stray Cat Strut on the top of it.
Oh, nice.
Just, like, a triple mash.
All right, I'll consider.
Very well.
I will consider doing that in my copious free time.
It's the same riff. It's the same structure.
You must have a lot of free time. But you're right. But it is, yeah. It's that same progression.
I need to learn how to correctly make mashups because I hear them in my head constantly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Constantly. And I just don't know how to execute it.
Just layer
them. Now that Audacity won't work on Catalina, fuck you, Mac.
But you can get Adobe Audition, which is what we're recording these episodes into now.
And how much does that cost? Don't tell me.
$50 a month is part of the package.
But you have to subscribe.
Mm-hmm. But it's the entire, you get Photoshop, you get Acrobat. Hey, it's stuff we need.
I don't need it anymore. I moved away from it.
I need it. I need it. You know why I need it? Because I'm a fucking professional, you guys.
So am I.
Are you like, so am I? But you went away from it, so you're no longer a professional.
Oh, I am, though.
What do you use?
I don't let their corporate
what do you use?
Determine my professionality.
Are you using GIMP?
No, hell no. I'm using Affinity.
What?
Affinity.
What?
Designer, photo, and publisher.
What?
Yeah.
I don't even know you anymore.
Yeah, that's great.
Who are you? Get out of my house. It's not my house. But.
I was going to say.
Where are we at, Heather?
Oh, it's back to me already?
I think so.
Oh, I guess so, because we did Colin.
Yeah.
So I have one song left.
We're just going to go. We're going to get back into the moves clockwise.
This is my last.
Counterclockwise.
My last song.
Yeah.
But I saved the best for last because this is the I Put a Spell on You from Hocus Pocus.
Yeah. Now, I'll tell you what. It's a movie that I loved when I saw it in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
It's a classic of Halloween. It's a dumb movie.
Oh, it is, but I love
it.
It's
such a dumb movie.
It's so cheap.
You've seen it, right?
I saw it for the first time with you last year.
Yeah.
For Halloween.
Hasn't been indoctrinated in all the stuff we hold dear.
I love Bette Midler.
Oh, yeah.
I love Bette Midler.
Yeah.
Love Bette Midler.
Thank you, Max, for that marvelous introduction. I put a spell on you. And now you're mine. You can't stop the things I do. I ain't lying.
No! Don't listen to them!
Been 300 years, right down to the day. Now the witch is back, and there's hell to pay. I put a spell on you.
Good joke. Happy Halloween. No, man, I'm serious. You got to have me. I'm not kidding. You have fun. All right. Yeah, gear up. Let's go, guys.
The good fortune to see Bette Midler on Broadway.
My God, she's amazing.
In Hello, Dolly.
I'm so jelly.
Yeah, you should be. She's going to tell you about what it was like.
Utterly fucking bucket list. Like, she got 3 standing ovations. I have never seen any kind of performance on or off Broadway where the crowd and the show literally comes to a fucking standstill so you can give the lead actress a standing ovation just the first time she walks on the fucking stage. It was...
That
amazing.
Is so cool that you got to see something like that. Because
I was crying.
Read that happened with Gwen Verdon, that they just completely stopped a play that she was in because of a song she sang.
Yeah.
And it never happened before.
And she hadn't even opened her mouth yet.
She just stood on stage.
She rolled out on stage. Because, you know.
It was phenomenal.
The play gets going a little bit, and then Dolly comes out, and she's in the carriage, and she's, like, reading the newspaper, and she pulls the newspaper down, and it's Bette Midler, and, like, the entire crowd was on its feet, like, screaming.
Done. That's amazing.
And they literally stopped everything. The orchestra stopped. She stepped off the carriage. She did the. She broke the fourth wall. She acknowledged the audience. She took a bow. She did the little like, oh my God, you're so kind. And then she went right back into it. And I mean, the woman is not young. She is a phenomenal performer. She, that show, I mean, she's doing that show. When we saw her, what was it, 2 years ago, 3 years ago?
No, I think it was 2 years ago.
She's doing that show 2 times a day, 6 days a week.
But no, it was not one of them. One of the nights, the understudy would perform.
Yeah.
And Tuesdays.
On Tuesdays, yeah.
And so that's why I was like, we are going to see Bette Midler.
Two shows a day, 6 days a week. She has a day, and she's dancing all around the stage. But she also acknowledges her age and plays it up a little bit.
Yeah, she does.
And I think it was amazing that, you know, she chose to do Hello, Dolly, because frankly, Hello, Dolly is one of the few things out there that is written for a mature actress.
Right. But it's also a classic standard. And it's a classic.
And, you know, it's not necessarily my favorite Broadway show, but when you put Bette Midler and David Hyde Pierce.
Holy shit. On the same stage.
It was amazing.
We didn't get the best seats.
It was
but seats
it was
were expensive. Perfect.
Oh, I'm sure.
We were up in the mezzanine.
You're amazing.
Lower level were $1,500 seats. Yeah. So we were in the mezzanine. It was very hot. It was in the middle of summer. It was July.
And it was still fucking amazing.
It was great. Yeah, it was beautiful. It was a wonderful experience to have. And
we got to see Bette Midler. We were in the same room as Bette Midler.
We were
in the same room as the Divine Miss M.
It's true. It's true. Now I'm going to skip you and come back to you.
Okay.
Because she chose that song. And one of my songs is that same song. By
Screamin' Jay Hawkins.
Ah! Screamin' Jay Hawkins, there was a website for a while called jayskids.com because Screamin' Jay would just Genghis Khan the shit out of his... He would just impregnate women at every city he visited. And it's reputed that he had over 200 or 300 kids that were illegitimate. And so you could go to jayskids.com and register and see if you were one of Jay's kids.
I'd be far more worried if he had 300 legitimate children.
Right.
Put a spell on you. Because you're mine.
Now, without Screamin' Jay Hawkins, there is no Alice Cooper.
I was just going to say.
Screamin' Jay Hawkins and Screaming Lord Sutch pioneered horror rock. And without them, there is no Alice Cooper. There is no Insane Clown Posse. There is no Rob Zombie. And Screamin' Jay was doing this in the 50s. He would come out of on stage, shame that you couldn't pull it off, but in a coffin, and emerge from the coffin in every city. He was a weirdo. And I'm going to stop his version, and I am going to get stupidly self-indulgent and do my version, because I can. Because I took the time to create a karaoke version of this song. So you get to hear me do Screamin' Jay.
Nice.
I'll put a spell on you.
But done by me. Impression off. Should add Mark here to do an impression off.
No, that was amazing.
That was wonderful.
This is one of the ones that they don't let me get away with at the Elks.
Okay, hang on. No, just to qualify.
Yeah.
Listener, that wasn't edited in. Derek actually just sang that.
I just sang that live. It's one of my favorite songs of all time. I'm a big, big fan of Screamin' Jay Hawkins, and I like to yell. I like to yell a lot. I made money yelling for years, doing car ads and also doing public address announcing for hockey. So I can yell for a long extended period of time and not damage my voice.
And you're quite good at it.
I'm pretty good at it. It's okay. Glad you like it. Jess.
I had one more.
Yeah.
And that is the horror pops, Walk Like a Zombie. Caveat, we are crossing a line.
Ooh, into what?
Punk.
Oh, well, but punk and spooky really go hand in hand.
They really do, and we're going to take a real hard leap into the punk pool right now.
All right. Very Hillbilly Moon Explosion-esque. I mean, no, some of the stuff that they've done, some of the duet stuff that they've done. This is good.
Yeah,
I like it. Yeah. What made you come up with this one?
I have had this song. I don't know where I acquired it. It just magically showed up at one point in my iTunes because I have so much stolen music from other people in my iTunes. And I was putting together a set list a couple years ago and I found this and I was like, oh my God, I love this. How did I get this song?
It's really good. I think it's an even better story that you don't even know where it came from.
Yeah, I have a lot of horror pops.
And believe in ghosts.
I quite like them.
horror pops.
I do not believe that ghosts are putting together my iTunes set list.
You know?
I have literally copied like five different people's hard drives at various points of like, hey, give me all your MP3s. I'm looking for new music. And, because I'm an asshole like that. And what that results in is I have about 40,000 songs. About 15,000 of them are completely unlabeled and just say artist, title, track number.
Yeah.
And as I'm going through, I will find things like this. And over the years, I've discovered some fun stuff because of it. So
it's good.
Horror pops. Awesome stuff.
What do you think of it, Colin?
I liked it. Her voice immediately reminded me of Susie from Susie and the Banshees.
All right.
But yeah.
I really liked it.
I dug it. That was really fun.
Yeah. Fun. I would say we're running out of time, but we don't actually have a time limit. It's a self-imposed time limit. When I feel like it's time to end the show, I just end the show.
Mm. Yeah, we don't even know the show is ending until that little ditty pops up.
Yeah. That's a teen beat.
Yep.
First boomps.
That little ditty.
You brought a bunch.
I did bring a bunch. I got one more asterisk one, I believe.
Yeah, yeah.
Let me see. Do the Zombie by M.R. Baseman and the Cymbals, yeah.
Do the Zombie.
Do the Zombie.
Actually, a few examples of these kind of songs that literally are complete ripoffs of other songs.
Yeah,
this is obviously Peggy Sue by Buddy Holly and the Crickets.
Takes out half the work.
It does. but I have an example that I didn't pull, but I'm going to play anyway because this popped up, and this has popped up obviously twice with the ones you chose.
I know. I don't make the songs. I just like them.
It's fun how they're so obviously... I didn't choose this, but this is actually a Halloween-esque song.
Dracula is the name.
It's,
Sucking Blood's my game.
Pretty much. It's that kind of, who were those guys? Gnarls Barkley.
Oh, yeah.
Gnarls Barkley. That's, The Boogie Monster by Gnarls Barkley.
Yeah. He's the birth of...
Was Gnarls Barkley, CeeLo Green, and Danger Mouse? No,
yes. No. Yeah, that's who I was thinking of. Yeah. Let's see if you guys can recognize the song that this is completely stolen from.
Come in. Who is it? No! Ah!
He's a vampire. Oh, my God.
He's a vampire. 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 Well, I was walking down the street. I met a guy, his name was Pete. He told me that he was a nice guy. Until I looked up into his bloodshot eyes. All I could do was break out.
You know, it's got that classic 1-4-5-1.
1-4-5-1, but what song is it?
It's Coasters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Bud.
Which one? Which Coasters song?
You're the one good with names.
I know, I know, I know. I'm trying to figure it out. I can't think of the name of it, but I know it's the Coasters. Jungle Blood, isn't it?
Nope.
No, which one? Because all I can ever hear is, like, because the Oak Ridge Boys ripped off the Coasters with so much stuff.
With Elvira.
And I can hear Elvira, but Elvira is more of a straight rip of Youngblood. But you can still kind of hear that.
What I love about this song, though, is he throws in the obligatory mother-in-law joke, where he sends the vampire to eat his mother-in-law.
How similar a lot of songs from that era were, though, because it's like I can also hear like part of the frame of Little Egypt in there too.
Gonna find her.
Yeah. Gonna find her. This is the one I was hearing in my head.
Yeah.
And I couldn't remember what it was.
It's called Searchin'.
Searchin'.
I've been searching. I'm out searching.
Because this is the one they used to rip off Elvira.
Yes.
Okay. And I'm like, fuck, it's the one that the Oak Ridge Boys ripped off of the Coasters.
Well, and so many songs. I mean, there's only 12 notes.
First cell, that my date you can expired. Play. Start grooming some new people.
Video will play after the ad, by the way. I'm looking this up on YouTube.
Right. Yeah. Mysteries revealed. Mysteries of podcasting.
Pulling back the curtain on the podcast.
Welcome on this week's edition of Unsolved Mysteries of Podcasting.
It's the Oak Ridge Boys. I hate these videos where people are like, let me do this.
I feel like I ruined my dad when I showed him this.
Oh, yeah?
Because he loves the Coasters.
Elvira.
But he also loves this song. He did not know why.
Elvira.
Until I played those songs back to back on the jukebox for him, and he was
my
like,
my heart's on fire. Elvira. Eyes that look like heaven.
Yep.
Lips like cherry.
Well,
meow.
There is a song that the Grassroots completely ripped off of the Drifters. You're aware of that?
No, which one?
I guess we're just going to go down this rabbit hole.
Oh,
on
man,
this
sweet. We are just leaving Halloween far behind us and flying into copyright infringement and trademark violations.
It's true.
People.
But we've been doing that the entire time. Oh, man. What was it? Shit. I don't know. I'm not prepared
for
that.
You can enjoy everything. Just educate yourselves.
It's true.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's
just
it.
Know where it comes from. And if you know where it comes from and you know where you're going, I guess I know where we're going.
And now we know.
We know.
Into the abyss.
Everybody knows. My name is Derek Knight. You've been a wonderful audience, I assume. I guess. I like to say that at the end of shows when it's live, because I, you know, they can see me, but I can't see you. You might have been a shitty audience. I don't know. I hope you were wonderful.
I think they were great.
Probably. Go out and do wonderful things.
Pat yourself on the back.
Yeah. Colin Burton and Heather and Jess, we all shared some tunes, some memories, and I hope you have a good Halloween. Go out and do the Lord's work by knocking kids over and stealing their candy. Buck Montrose.
Smashing pumpkin or two.
Well, yeah, smashing pumpkin faces. worshiping Satan. We'll see you back again another time.